We've got an extra 3.5 days.
We have 12 days.
Almost 13.
And we have payroll coming up on this Friday.
Yeah, but we've also got other income coming in this Friday as well.
Okay, so we are clear for our payroll.
Oh, yeah.
Staff. Can you tell us a little bit about the lease for the colonoscopy machine?
You guys approved it back in October. Just with any capital equipment, I've been very stringent on making sure that I don't buy, been waiting till failure before I buy anything. Unfortunately, that piece of equipment did fail in February, so that we pursued the lease that we had discussed and approved with you and our hospital board back in, I believe it was October. Currently amounts to about $1,500 a month. Gross revenue for the first clinic that we rolled out earlier this month has gone to about $85,000. We'll do another clinic in August, which will again be about $80,000 to $85,000. We can't bring that revenue in unless we have a piece of equipment.
I appreciate that. I guess my question for Ang is, this is purchased in February. You told us before that it takes a while for future payment on these things. So we may see this money from the $86,000, and I'm assuming that's your net.
That's gross, isn't it?
That's the gross?
Okay.
What's your net on that?
After contractuals and stuff, probably $70,000?
Yeah. So how many days out are you on that $70,000?
Well, we can't bill it out for usually about 3 weeks after, so we have to wait for the pathology report based on whatever the findings are, and then that'll go out. So I would say probably 60 days.
So we're 60 days out on that seven. And we're in the throes of, we're talking about having search assume control of this hospital.
Correct.
And the number that's being thrown out is 90 to 120, right? 90 to 120 days.
Yeah.
Is this lease a lease that we can get out of?
No.
So we made a decision to purchase a piece of capital from a lease that we cannot. When we knew in February that this was a path that we were taking,
it'll be a piece of equipment that CIRC will continue to assume the payments on.
Did you speak to Daniel Neumeister about the equipment? And did you say yes, that's a piece of equipment?
The non-binding agreement with CIRC did not take place until after the purchase agreement was
signed. Sorry, my question earlier, did you speak to Daniel Neumeister about that piece of equipment so that we know that CIRC wants it and will assume this lease on behalf of the city?
I did not. But you also got to keep in mind the timing in which the non-binding agreement was not in place prior to that need to replace pieces of equipment.
For sure. But I also know that in December we were having discussions about this taking over and moving forward. So this is not a news item to anybody that will just move forward. I guess my concern is that we've been obligated to a lease with no assurance that lease will be assumed by the assuming agency, and that further to that, the second colonoscopy clinic will fall if we even live to the outside of the assumption that CIRC is taking over, which is 120 days, which is a long game.
Right.
The second colonoscopy clinic, which it would say as successful as this one was never saying, will be outside of our operating time anyway. So what is the payoff for that colonoscopy machine?
It's about $90,000
purchase. $90,000 purchase. I was under the impression that money was coming from the hospital foundation. And in the last conversation when you were here, we specifically asked about the colonoscopy and the ultrasound, and you made no mention at that time about a lease of a colonoscopy machine.
Because you guys approved it back in October.
I understand, but we were talking about buying a colonoscopy machine. It would make sense to me that you would say, I'm sorry. We don't need to worry about the colonoscopy machine. I have already leased one.
The agreement that I had with the foundation was that they were giving us $150,000 towards an ultrasound machine. And the excess above the purchase of that machine would go towards the colonoscopy purchase. So currently the ultrasound machine estimate is about $112,000, which means about $38,000 of that remaining money will go towards the purchase of the system.
Just out of curiosity, when did the colonoscopy machine break?
During the early February clinic.
Do we have any clinics between February and the year?
No.
Do we have any borrowing any equipment from anybody? Did we get a machine?
During February's clinic, there were some pieces that were available, that were necessary, that we did borrow from Petersburg, but the rest of our equipment probably died. Again, this is the outdated equipment that's no longer.
Are you borrowing anything from Church? Is that an option?
No, I haven't. Here's the challenge. This medical equipment is not durable to me running around transporting. And so the same challenge that I have with Petersburg stuff that I had borrowed from them is if it breaks, I have to replace it. And then I'm out some money for the purchase of equipment and still don't have a piece of equipment. So it was financially prudent for us to go ahead and replace our own equipment, knowing that we're going to recoup the investment within the first two clinics that we have and with a profit margin above and beyond that. I understand what you're asking about August, but my understanding with CERTS is that any revenue that we're due, that the hospital is due prior to the merger, the city will still assume that those funds. Is the understanding that I have.
I appreciate that, but there may be a flood of funds coming in after the hospital has been taken over. My concern is that we are barely holding on to make payroll. The 12 days in Missouri.
Correct.
You have a liability to the city still of $250,000 that has not been paid back. And I appreciate that that revenue may come in. That I'm hoping that it comes in 60 days, but it appears sometimes it doesn't. So my fear is that we're going to have a flood of revenue after the hospital's taken over. You know, yes, it will be nice to have that low back. Perhaps we can pay back some of the city money with that. But we're spending this money, and I guess I appreciate that in October the Borough Assembly said, yes, go ahead and buy a colonoscopy machine, because it was a very different set of circumstances in October than it is in February. So I have concerns about that. Is there any other major purchases that you're currently planning on making for capital items, or are looking at obligating the hospital to in the industry?
At this point in time, my conversation that I've had with Lisa was that all purchases, even though I've been approved by, it has been approved in my capital budget from last year, even though it was through that July 1, is that I've been waiting till failure, and I will have those conversations with the city manager. So we do have some things that I know that are going to fail before then that are going to have to be something. We talked about sprinkler head systems. We talked about a few other things that are very close to failing, but I don't have anything as of today that needs to be in major purchases.
Well, I know in previous meetings we have heard about items in excess of $250,000 that your insurance is coming up.
Correct.
And the fire alarm panel or whatever thing, the fire alarm sprinkler system is another one that put, I believe that was in excess of $250,000.
You asked me about capital, not all.
Right, no, I'm sorry, but I'm just looking, I'm just sort of running the tally in my mind here. Okay.
A couple of other items that Robert identified, and that's in the budget information that you received as part of the manager's report tonight. Those are unbudgeted items, things that came up during the recent inspection, like UL listing for the doors, and a couple of other items that didn't mention up as well. I do also want to mention that when Robert and I met on Friday, we talked about a couple of things. He talked about some additional revenue coming in, and the two of us spoke about the possibility of a small portion of it seems prudent based on his discussion internally that the hospital might be able to return a small portion of the loan to the borough. But we'll see. I'm not sure if that's possible. We did have that discussion.
She's referring to, we got notification through our Marty Michael, who does our CPA, that does our cost reports through the years of mid-year. Our adjustment, I guess, and so they're anticipating about $100,000 that we should be getting here in the next couple of weeks.
So at this point, what is the plan for capital purchases? Are we, I guess what I'm worried about is that we move forward, if we are making assumptions that CERTS is going to want this equipment, and my understanding is that you have asked Dan about some of this equipment, and he said, we don't want anything. Is that correct, or am I overstating?
No, well, I asked Dan about whether or not the hospital having additional equipment would make, would sweeten the pot, so to speak, and he said, no. You know, the addition of a couple of pieces here or there is not going to make a difference. Thanks. And my understanding from that is that, you know, CERT has a very vast network of equipment and machines, and they have the ability to bring machines here or equipment here on angle if it's needed. That's my understanding.
So, again, I'm speaking to the canary in the mine. I would really like, I would like for the assembly to be in on this thing, because at the end of the day, we're on the hook for this money, and given our budget, the current budget that we're working with, where we're already cutting from other departments, I really want to make sure that we're lean and mean up at the hospital, and that we're looking at other alternatives aside from spending these reserves.
Mr. Rang and I did have a conversation about that, just to looking at the hospital budget and expenses in terms of the greater picture for the borough, because at the end of the day, when everything is said and done, whatever expenditures there needs to be and whatever money or lack thereof that's coming in will be the responsibility of the borough, and we have to take that into consideration with everything else that we have going on. And although I certainly don't want to, we have things coming up, not the least of which is what are we going to do with the old hospital building. And so any money that we would take in after the closure of the hospital, I think to some degree might be prudent to put into whatever the closure would be. We've got a lot of expenses that will need to be years after the hospital.
One last point that I think is important, that in all of the conversations that I've heard, and I've spoken with Roland, who's been in the process, and certainly my wife has been very intimate in these meetings, and we've had a chance to discuss it. This taking over of CERT is a 100% deal. We will have an advisory board, but that is not a board of government. An advisory board that you currently have for the clinic should be making suggestions to a board of government. And the board of government, we will not have a say in terms of the day-to-day operations of that hospital or the clinic. And so I think it's important that the community understand that we are not going to be dictating to CERT from this community how they conduct the business of healthcare. We will be making suggestions, and I will say I have found them extremely open to suggestions as we move along. But this is if we sign on the dotted line, this is a done deal. And any money that we've expended, my guess is that is money lost. We will never receive that money back unless there's some great recovery rate out there that I don't know about. But we will have contractual obligations, for example, with our billing company. I don't know what the out is on that, but I know that that's $240,000 a year for the billing company. And there's going to be closure and cleanup that we're going to have to do that is going to cost the community money to transition out of. We haven't even spoken yet about or heard about, and I'm sure it will be in the negotiations for vacation liability. That is a huge portion. So there's massive costs out there. So it is vital, in my opinion, that this hospital currently operates on the thinnest budget possible, and that we are evaluating everything that we do from probably the perspective of, is there some way that we can incorporate CERT's vast network that is currently there into what we're doing, especially given that they need to take more than 90 to 120 days. So that's really what I want to see. Okay. And I really want that canary in this mine, and I want to know when that canary falls over, because we have to have some lead time on if it's getting rough. We need to understand that well in advance. It's sort of, it's Wednesday and we can't make payroll on Friday. Mm-hmm. We need to have some lead time on this thing.
Mr. Rain is reporting to me about the financial situation with regard to days of cash on hand and the status of the accounts payable every Friday. I get a report from him every Friday. And as a rule, I try to respond and provide that to you guys at the next assembly meeting. I can certainly forward that email directly to the assembly at the Friday.
I would appreciate that.
I, if I may add, Mayor Jack, to Steve's comments, I assure you that I'm not spending money foolishly. That, you know, even though you guys approved it, I had held off not purchasing it back at the time because the piece of equipment that we had was still somewhat functional, just like with all the other capitals you guys approved back in May of last year, knowing that I just needed to replace it. But it is also part of my process is what I consider to be a return on our investment. Yes, we paid $90,000 for this piece of equipment over the course of the lease, but in the first two clinics alone, we're anticipating about $160,000 to $170,000 worth of gross revenue. So, and it is a service that we were already continuing. So going back to the concern about the line of credit that I have with you guys, I can't pay you back the money if I don't have the revenue coming in to be able to provide those revenues. It's kind of like retail. Unless you've got the shell stock, you can't sell anything. And so I appreciate that. So there's, so that's why we're not opening up any, you know, new lines of services. That's why I'm milking out every piece of equipment I got, waiting until it does fail, and then having those conversations with the pieces that happen.
I haven't stated that. I understand the timing of your purchase and you said what's the duration of the lease on
that? I think it was five years. Right. We're paying $1,400 a month. So over the course of the of 6 months, you know, we're paying roughly $9,000, but yet getting back $100,000.
Yeah, and the total purchase was $90,000 over the course of the five-year lease. And then if FIRST were to take over the, you know, in 90 to 120 days, take over the operations and bring in their own piece of equipment, that's something that we would be able to pick up ourselves or sell?
Yes. Be a retail for us.
There would be a pretty easy resale.
Yeah, we'd have to pay off the lease.
Right, of course.
Yeah, definitely. And being that it's brand new and the latest model out there, it's definitely going to have resale value versus the stuff that we had that was no longer serviceable, much less supported. Right. The other piece of the lease that we're still paying on is, if you recall, a little over a year ago, we did have to upgrade our radiology software to meet standards. Went from a digital to CR to DR, whatever it stood for, and there were some upgrades there. So those payments are still being made as well. So that'll be something that, being a software, that will be something that FIRST will have to spend FIRST to. There's no resale value on software. But with that said, I mean, you know, all elective, all non-essential travel has been put on hold. Staff has allocated $3,000 a year towards continuing education. I put that on hold. The only travel I've done has been the stuff that I consider to be mission essential. Going back to the purchases of equipment, staff's been doing very well as far as saving our expenses are actually down between 6% and 7% over the past several months. I'm trying to, you know, as we continue to tighten the belt.
Anything
further?
And accounts receivable, is it still $2.2 million or?
At the last figure, it was down a little bit. Yeah, it's around about $2.2 million.
And then what percentage is historically have you recovered?
To be honest with you, Patty, I can't give you an honest number on that because depending on what the mix is, if it's Medicaid, you know, obviously it's going to be 5% less than, you know, whatever that is. Commercial, given we get about, you know, 18% of our business is commercial, we get that plus a little bit more. But I would say a ballpark figure that we can probably account for about 70 to 75% of whatever our accounts receivable. The other challenge we have, too, is that we got a pretty good large percentage of it's private pay, which is usually the deductibles after the insurance pays that the individuals themselves are responsible for. We're running a pretty hefty balance with that, with people making balance payments. We've done pretty good with rolling out that prompt pay discount that you guys did. First month alone, we paid off about $20,000. I think we've got people bringing in, and in the last first couple of months, we've got another $15,000 of that, so we're starting to clean that up.
So,
sir.
And then just to follow up, what percentage is kicked back by the insurance companies because of coding errors or billing errors or something of that sort? I'm trying to think in terms of negotiating with CERT. Obviously, the city's in no position to try to code, correct coding errors and so forth.
Very small percentage, to be honest with you. I'm very impressed with currently we do our coding in-house. The True Bridge account is only for the billing portion of it.
Right.
And between Rose and her department and Constant and the HM department, we're doing pretty good. The challenge we have is that we've learned with through our charge master review that there was ways of enticing and enhancing our billing procedures with the fact that we should be using different codes for certain procedures. So that's been part of the process we've been going through recently. But we very little of it gets kicked back.
So maybe less than 5% kicked.
Oh, probably I would say probably in the probably like around 2% if that.
Okay.
Yeah. Of that, to be honest with you, there's a large percentage of that too that it's not kicked back because of coding errors, but more or less requesting additional documentation to justify it, which is an easy fix.
Okay.
Yeah. Because our billing company providing, we have a business that does most of our billing for us,
correct? Correct.
Are they providing collection services as part of that?
We do work with a different company that does our collection for us.
Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Lang. We're going to have to take a short recess here at 7:50 p.m. Reconvene this meeting at 7:55 p.m. Mr. Lang, do you want to go ahead and continue?
I had shared with Lisa, but I want to give you guys an update too. You guys remember back in, speaking of February, with the big financial scare with the state regarding the Medicaid supplemental, that they were short about $98,000. It was a big, a letter writing campaign or phone calls to all the, everybody's across the state representative. They did partially supplement that during early March, which is about $45,000, which left about $48 million that was not in. That did get approved, not last weekend, but the weekend prior, just before legislation closed. Instead of the full $48 million, though, they did approve $28 million to go towards Medicaid supplement to finish carrying them out for the year, which the extra $20 million, ironically, is the same amount of money that the ferry system was given. Because of that shortfall, knowing that they were going to still run out of Medicaid money before the end of the fiscal year, that meant that during the month of June, Medicaid payments would not be made. When I went to the Hospital Association meeting last week, we did have the DHS office at that, and we specifically asked them about what does that mean. And what they were going to do was going to prioritize payments as of that meeting moving forward to those facilities that would be most financially impacted with this Medicaid. So I specifically called out Franklin Medical Center, my counterpart specifically called out Cordova, and then there were some other facilities. But the point being is that they will make sure that smaller facilities that are very dependent on Medicaid funds will continue to get paid through the fiscal year, and the larger facilities such as Providence, Regional, AMC that have the reserves. And I also want to put out some appreciation because that was also part of the conversation when Dan and Michael were there at the meeting as well, that they also have the reserves to be able to hold off for a while. But the Medicaid money will come to the smaller facilities before it goes to larger, so they'll be able to carry it through. So that takes the pressure off, I guess, trying to get through the end of this fiscal year. I just want to make sure you guys have that. There's also part of that with Medicaid payments, there's also a letter that the Hospital Association sent out today to all their representatives as well regarding how the Medicaid shortfalls are affecting everybody again, with a plea to be take a look at how they're paying us. I forwarded that letter to Lisa, she can forward on to you guys. But again, there's a lot of information that highlights specifically Wrangell Medical Center's effect on that. Part of my contribution, there's the small hospital committee chair on the hospital committee. I'm not sure with you, though.
Thank you. Item 13D, the approval of industrial master service agreement with Waste Management National Services Incorporated.
Move to approve an industrial master service agreement with Waste Management National Services Incorporated.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
I got a couple of questions. Can I ask?
Yes.
What are the rates compared with these guys? I'm not too... Compared to what we're paying now.
What you have before you is the request to approve a master service agreement with Waste Management Services. Right now, we're not scheduled to do any work with them. They're not providing any service for us, but this a master service agreement is just, it sets the general terms and conditions of an agreement as you move forward with a subsequent agreement. So if in the future we decide we want to contract with them to do scrap metal hauling, we would execute that Exhibit R and a site addendum that would identify what the rates were. It may be where we're paying for their service. It could be that we're getting a recycling rebate back. So it will just depend on what the individual service that they're offering us would be. So scrap metal could be one. It could be household hazardous waste, which we're actually contracted with a new company now. And if I may take this opportunity to say that our next household hazardous waste event is scheduled for June 15th and 16th for the public's knowledge. That will be a two-day, all-day event at the solid waste transfer facility. And households are eligible to bring up to 200 pounds of household hazardous waste on that day for free. So right now we don't have anything to move forward with them, but this sets the terms and agreement for moving forward when we do identify a need that they can provide a service for us.
Is a 60-month agreement standard with these certificates? That's a very long time.
It seems as if it is, and again, we don't ever have to use this with. It's in place up to 5 years. But if we never move forward and utilize them for any service, this will sit on the shelf for 5 years. But I think that question was asked, in 5 years is what they typically ask for.
I said in here that there was one. You have to sign up for a trip, pretty much, but if you don't need it, you don't have to.
Well, so that my comment about that in particular was that there is some language in there that says if we have contracted with Waste Management for, say, a scrap a recycling service, and they have mobilized to Wrangell, they've started that, we're obligated to follow through with that service.
Just follow up on that. Who initiates the bond moving?
Well, we
initiate that by calling them up and saying we need this bond, or can they just start it up here and say it was not? You've got to pay.
We would initiate that, and we would have to have an Exhibit R and a site addendum in agreement between both parties before that would take place. Yeah, so that's something that we would likely initiate and say, hey, we've got a site full of metal that we have enough to justify a hauling expense. And they would actually, at that point, they have the ability to say, well, we're happy to come get it. Here's the price for metal right now. It's either going to cost you this much money, or the price may be such that we would see a recycling rebate come back to us if we're talking about scrap metal in particular. But there are a multitude of other services that they may be able to offer.
I recall the reason we're entering into this is because, regionally speaking, there's several other communities that are also doing this, and so it's an advantage to us to do it at this time, correct?
That is mostly correct. Most of the other communities that are involved with CSWA, Southeast Alaska Solid Waste Authority, of which Wrangell is a part of, they moved forward and issued this agreement with their communities. We didn't move forward at the time because what they were anxious to move forward with this agreement for was the scrap metal recycling. At the time, Channel had just come into Wrangell and cleared our site. So we weren't needing their service, and while they were disappointed that we didn't wait, but at the time they weren't committing to anything. And most of the other communities had the space to reserve more metal, and we were out of space. So we didn't have that flexibility at the time. So they, and they're just now getting that barge service going. Yeah, so they've been waiting for over a year to make that happen, and we've had now two subsequent cleanups, which didn't cost us anything, and we were looking at potentially shipping that out at a cost increase.
Is there anything that they're slated to do in the near future, like say maybe tire haul out or anything like that that we might be interested in?
We have talked about tire hauling. And we need to have this in place first. and I can carry on some substantial discussion with them.
And the borough attorney has reviewed this agreement?
He has.
Nothing further? Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Councilmember Powell?
Yes.
Kazanka?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Yes.
Yes. Item 13E, discussion item, water treatment. This is a discussion item and it will not require a motion or...
And you might as well just keep...
I keep hoping I won't have to get up again. So thank you for letting me present our findings of the roughing filter replacement project with you. It's with some disappointment that the pilot plant that we've been testing for the last 6 weeks has not produced the results that we had hoped. I did write a long report, and I hope it's detailed enough, but for the sake of the public, I can go over that briefly with you. And if you have some specific questions, especially related to water science and some of the details that are in here, or the work that Wayne did with his testing, he's here to answer any of those questions. But in essence, what we were trying to do is determine if there's a better system out there that would improve the process that is what we call our roughing filter filtration process. That's, we've talked about it a million times before, but I'll kind of outline it again. But first treatment process is ozonation. The water actually gets dosed with some chemicals to adjust the pH, and then it goes through ozonation. The roughing filter is the second process where it filters, it starts to filter out and remove the color that's in the water before that water then moves on to the sand filter. The dirtier that water is before it reaches the sand filters, the faster it clogs the sand filter up. So the intent was, can we improve the quality of the water leaving the roughing filter before it hits the sand filter? And the roughing filters, the Forsta filters that were identified, we really had high hopes, and they did prove to do the work that they said they were going to do. They just didn't seem to give us a significant improvement to justify the expense of this project. So.
Yes.
Would there have been a significant conservation of water that may help us in the coming months?
Well, so what we also found with this, aside from not seeing a significant gain in the water quality, these filters proved to actually waste a very significant amount of water. Correct. Wayne actually came up with another idea to collect that backwash water and return it to the head of the filters. That would be something to consider. If you read the report, after we recommended not moving forward with this full project, we also said, if we don't end up with all the money that we need for the new gas plant, we might consider going back and piloting this filter again with the added polymer that would capture those small lightweight particles that were still passing through the filter and to see if it would provide us a better product. But again, that's more pilot time, it's more design time. There's a lot more work that would still need to happen. So it might be something that we consider if we aren't successful with moving forward with the gas plant. Yes.
Can you back up to the beginning of that sentence, if we don't end up with the total amount needed for the gas
plant? So the cost of that project is nearly $10 million. We have nearly 7 of the 10 now. We have a shortfall of the full funding in the amount of $3 million. These are rough numbers. So the last piece was the grant that we applied to EDA for, which we talked about when we met here for 3 hours one night. So that's been quite a bit long process. There's two sections of applications that needed to be applied for. We just submitted the second one after submitting the initial. They said, yes, you're eligible. Please submit for the second round. That application went in on May 14th, and we are waiting for them to meet their
anticipating their next review committee meeting middle of June.
And that would mean the full amount?
Yes, if we were approved for the full amount.
Disappointing, but that's why you do a pilot project.
Exactly.
And really glad you did it.
Yeah. And as disappointing as it is, you know, it would have been more disappointing to spend $500,000 on a project that didn't work.
And I really appreciate it. I read the report very carefully. I really appreciate it, Wayne's input on there.
Absolutely.
About looking at trying to find solutions and workarounds to make it work. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, this is why we do a pilot.
Exactly.
And it feels like a waste of money, but in comparison to the millions we'd lose on gearing up big.
I agree. And I have to say, we were so hell-bent on moving this project forward at a very high speed. I mean, we were ready to just spend the money and do it, right?
Absolutely.
Until Wayne said, we've got to pilot this, you know. So I'm very thankful to him and his thoughtfulness as to, you know, the resources of the city and his department. So
thank you, Wayne.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add about the work that you did or the results? Have you already hired your two temporary employees?
We've hired the one that there was only one application submission during our first round of advertisement. So that person is working with Wayne. He actually worked there last year, so we have a returning employee, which is wonderful to have. And the second round of advertising closes on May 31st. So we'll run through the applicants at that time and hopefully select them.
So you're going to use the same procedure, cleaning the filters and sand and back flushing, and you've got that down.
Yeah. You've got down to the science.
Yeah.
we started this week, actually. So we've run two of them. I started that last week. We've done one already this week, and we'll do another one before the weekend. Then we'll start tearing them down systematically to prepare for the onslaught. It will save us water by taking them down earlier because they won't be as headed up. And as much as we can get them flushed out before the season starts, the better off we'll be. It'll give us a little extra run time because we'll gain water through the filters because they'll be more open to flow. Whereas we haven't done it for like 7 months when the water got cold. We had to return some equipment, both to Public Works, their tanker, because of freezing weather, and the fire department's got a Volkswagen pump that we're very grateful for. But we can't run it in the winter. Sooner or later, somebody's going to mess up and freeze and break something, so we have to return it and go back to the bike. So.
Two questions. Are we going to utilize the plunger again with the plunger? Okay.
Already started.
That seemed to work pretty well.
Already started, yeah.
And my next question is just on the safety aspect of the rotisserie. Are you comfortable? Are we there with the adequate insulation and the SCBAs we need? And
We won't be doing that for the remainder of the summer.
You're just going to plunge?
Yes.
Okay. And then at one point last year, we talked about utilizing the tanker from the fire department to back flush in so you weren't sending that water over the hill. Was that not something we talked about? So we'd actually use the tank and send it into the tanker and then run the water back up to the front system?
I'm at a loss. You got me on guard. The tanker's not big enough.
Okay. So it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, the full volume, if we dump the full volume of the filter, we're looking at close to 140,000 gallons.
Okay. Is there a way for us to somehow reutilize?
Yes. Well, so we that's another project.
With you.
You asked.
There's so many water projects. So one project that Wayne came up with to reserve that water instead of sending it over the hillside is to capture the filter water. So that is a project that's now been approved by DEC, and we're working on that.
Great.
So.
Taking a little longer than expected. The water will come. If I may, the water will come right straight off the bottom of the filters. It'll be completely treated, minus the chlorine. and it'll go right straight into the clear well. And we'll get as much of it as we ever could hope to get.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, to back to the ventilation thing, I know that Wayne said they're not going to be doing that this summer, but Wayne and the staff are actually looking at an alternative approach to ventilating that would cost a significantly less amount of money.
We haven't give up the idea. We built a scale size filter housing that we can smoke test, and then we actually have the stuff to smoke test a full size filter once we get what we already have some good ideas, but once we get a better grasp on the flow of air through that rectangle, then we'll proceed with the bigger scale. Hopefully to be figured out. I think we can do it without costing us a bunch of money.
There's a lot of ingenuity going on. Mm-hmm. On a recommendation.
You know, I asked a lot, what's the update on our bypass line?
That project is in stalemate right now. It doesn't mean that. Yeah. I'm not happy about it, but.
Yeah, I just want to bring up that we talked about the season coming on its side, and we talked to them, and we're writing about this. I keep hearing the August 1st. I know we can't get anything before that, but this is a. The Humpies traditionally come in August, but we don't process Humpies. It just comes in some state, June 25th. And August is an impractical time to set stuff up for this particular. I mean, I'm just talking about paying, but for the fifth, they shut down.
The only thing I'm remembering is. For the forced and we're not gonna chase that.
If we're gonna start setting real peak goals for our peak season, it would be those peak out before.
Oh, Chum, yeah, Chum peak way before.
Yeah,
way before.
They open the 26th of June.
Yeah, and they'll be going good and strong in July.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our traditionally crabs what hits us the hardest.
Yeah.
There's a lot of water used in cooling and cooking.
But when we're planning at the plant for peak demand, like we are focused on, that middle of June is our start date.
Okay.
How's the level looking currently?
Both reservoirs, as of this morning, the upper one was full and overflowing. Yesterday, the lower was about a half foot low, but today it's full, not quite overflowing. There's no snow on top. As long as it keeps raining, we'll probably be all right. If it dries out for very long, we'll be fighting. Way it goes.
And one more question, our quantity of sand, will it last just another 3 years?
Yeah. We don't lose any sand.
Well, at one time we were thinking about replacing.
And that was in an effort to gain some time.
Yeah.
The plunging worked out a little better than hoped for. So it's basically localized backwash. If we were to set up a proper backwash in the filters. I want to say the backwash rate on a filter is like 20 gallons per minute per square foot. It's an atrocious amount of water. 10 minutes of backwash would burn most of our tank. So we've chosen and cobbled up. The guys put their heads together to come up with this plunging, and we've introduced some air and water into some small 3/4 inch lines, and we can do it in a localized 1.5 foot circle. It takes a couple hours, but it doesn't use hardly any water.
And when we were talking about the sand replacement, we hadn't actually come up with a viable solution, like we now have. But that sand's been around for
19 years.
Some years.